Another quick note before we begin this episode of the Gamecast, we would like to just apologize for the laggy audio at points during this podcast because the Discord that we were using to record it on lagged a couple times. We're getting things sorted out on our end, and also we are issuing a spoiler warning for the game Firewatch. If you have not played the game yet and you want to, do not listen as there are spoilers ahead, and if you have no intentions of playing the game, please do listen. And of course, if you have played the game, we recommend you listen because I think we offer some pretty good insight. This is definitely one of our best episodes to date. Thank you, and enjoy this episode of the Gamecast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Season 2, season premiere of the Gamecast. We're here, as always, with Vasemurk.
Hello.
It's kind of weird we're recording online now. How have you been doing? Because in the last episode, we...
Episode was a very long time ago.
Yeah.
I've been quarantined for 2 weeks because someone in my class got corona. Mm-hmm. So that's why we decided to cut season one and now start season two.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't record. Mm-hmm. So...
Today we are also joined by a special guest, Alex. Please welcome our friend Alex to the podcast.
Hello.
We have a really good production quality here. We definitely are good.
It's this. Very high production.
We're on Discord and I'm using OBS to record this. Anyways, today we are talking about Firewatch. Firewatch was released February 9th of 2016 to console and Steam, and December of 2018 to Nintendo Switch. It was developed by Camposanto, which, fun fact, was actually bought by Valve in April of 2018. And this game was also co-developed, but in the credits it is titled as associated with Panic Incorporated, which you may know from Rocket League. It is a single-player game. It takes about 4 hours to play. And it features a cast of Rich Summer, who voices Henry, and Sissy Jones, who voices Delilah. Any first thoughts about this game, what it's about, how you played it?
Very good game.
Yeah, you can appreciate it if you have patience and enjoy, like, storyline of a game.
So
you're not going to like it if you don't want to be sitting through, like, a good 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, so we're gonna talk about the story a little bit later, but just to give a quick overview so that you understand what's happening, you play as Henry. Henry is recently taken a Firewatch position in the Shoshone Forest. His wife had been diagnosed with dementia. There is a whole prologue sequence, which we'll talk about in
Alzheimer's.
A second. Alzheimer's? Is that what it is?
Yep. Alzheimer's is a form of dementia.
Nice one. Henry's wife had recently been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and there is a beautiful prologue sequence, which we'll talk about in just a moment. He goes into the forest, meets Delilah. Delilah is the boss and another lookout. You can only communicate with Delilah via radio. Throughout the game, you go around the forest completing tasks, and there is a mystery brewing where you and Delilah both believe that you are being watched. We will go a little bit more into that specific aspect of the story a little later on, but let's talk about this prologue sequence. I think that, in my opinion, it's probably one of the best openers to a game that I've seen.
Yeah. It was very deep, even for the beginning of the game. You could tell that it was going to be
very interesting.
Yeah. Like, for context, there is no game. It is a text, and you make base text decisions within the game, and those decisions, some of them are just fun decisions, and some of them will affect the game later on. But I also think that what makes this prologue so good is the music. And the music is a score developed by Chris Remo, or something. But he developed this score, and I feel like it really sets the tone and ambiance for the game. I've spoken a lot. Does anybody else have any thoughts that they want to add?
Yeah, the music throughout the entire... I feel like they could structure it a bit more, because it just starts at random points. Mm-hmm. But when it does, it is very good music, and it sets a tone for what is happening. So yeah. I feel like it just could be a bit more structured.
Yeah. Alex, any thoughts?
I mean, honestly, it's just the music it really undertones, like, the events happening around you. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the... I don't know, it's hard to say without spoiling what happens.
Just go ahead. For this entire episode, a major spoiler warning.
Yeah,
I'll probably put something at the beginning of this episode, but major spoiler warning. If you haven't played Firewatch, I highly recommend it. So you were saying.
And if you're not planning, just stay anyways.
Yeah. So
you were saying... I remember the music becoming somewhat ominous when you first find the fence.
Oh yeah. Also when I think I was with you or Vaismerk, and you were playing it, and right when your tower gets vandalized, the music turns very... Because they had music playing, but it was kind of like more strings, and it becomes very like da-da-da-da-da, kind of like a lot more ominous.
It's very intense. Like, yeah. Things are...
Like, even when you're not at the tower, you know something's about to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what about the prologue sequence, Alex? What did you... Because I was with you when you played that. You played it first on at my house. Yeah. What did you think of that part?
I mean, it was just... I mean, one thing I will say about it was an interesting callback to, like, you know, text-based games from, like, the 80s, which is when this game was set, so...
Mm-hmm. I think
that was pretty cool.
It's full of... This game is, like, if you're looking close enough, there's a lot more to be seen than just the base game. Like... If you look hard enough, there is a tape that you can find. A tape that has a song.
Oh, yeah, you have to be paying attention, because if you miss something...
You missed
like,
the tape?
There's a paper on the rock, and I spent like half an hour trying to find out what to do.
Was this...
You have to be paying
right
attention.
Before, was this right before you got...
At the lake.
Yeah, at the lake.
Yeah.
How'd you not see that? It's so obvious.
The radio, and you can spend a while... trying to figure out what to do, because the game doesn't give you all aspects, which I actually kind of like, because it's kind of like you have to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah, but that also is like a major, like I've played through this game pretty much twice. A major issue I had with it though was that oftentimes I would veer off completely, not where I was supposed to go.
Yeah, me too.
And the game just wouldn't tell me that. I think that has to do with how aware you are of your surroundings and if you can read maps. I've never personally read a map before.
You can always also restart the day.
Yeah.
But that means all your progress through.
I
restarted twice, I think.
I don't think I restarted. I mean,
one time I wasn't paying attention, like listening to what they said in the beginning, and then I got to the spot, and then I realized I hadn't looked at the trees to see which one to go to, so then I had to go all the way back.
Yeah.
And I just figured I'm gonna restart the day.
Alex, you were saying something?
I really liked how immersive the world was. You know, you could just kind of get lost in the forest wandering around.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of annoying if you wanted to do a specific objective, but if you were just, like, you know, trying to get the feel for the place, it was very... There was a very good environment.
Yeah, that's one minor criticism I have. Like, the game, like, of course, if you complete the game, there is an option to just walk around the whole map. But during the actual gameplay, there is no, like, moment where you get to just walk around without having an objective looming over your head. Which is why a lot of people miss that tape. Because if you go to see where it is, which I did in the free roam, it's so far out of your way that unless you were looking for it, you probably would not find it. You know where
the map does sometimes restrict you, though? Like,
very little, but I've seen that.
If you have to be going one way,
or like it'll cut you. It'll
cuts you, and you're not allowed to like move.
Sometimes it's like a natural, like there's a rock in your way or a stick, and sometimes it's just an invisible barrier. Let's talk about the art of Firewatch. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I loved it. The art is like, it's so...
Every time there's a sunset, everything just becomes...
I think that the beauty of it is that this game understands its limitations. It is a video game, and this game was made back in 2016, and while graphics were still good back then, we've made steps even in these 4 years. What I think is the beauty of it is that it uses its limitations, and it covers it up with lighting and with art that just feels like it's a cartoon, but also feels like you're there. I don't know. I really like the art of the game. Does anybody else have any thoughts?
I mean, it was just like the style is very distinctive.
Yeah.
Like, it's not trying to be realistic, but it's not exactly like a cartoon.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between.
Yeah. I think that another part of this game that makes it so immersive is the voice acting. Mm-hmm. The voice acting of Delilah and of Henry really puts yourself in these characters' shoes in a way that many games can't manage to do. And I think that that's, it's beautiful in a way, because you meet Delilah and you really don't, like, the first prologue sequence of the game is intentionally a little confusing. It cuts at points and then it picks back up. But when you, what did you guys think when you first met Delilah? Like, you're in your tower.
I didn't care for her in the beginning.
Wow. I
thought she was just kind of there.
A little annoying.
I didn't really think there would be too much character development with her, but I liked the way they took her character.
Yeah, Alex, what about you?
I mean, it was kind of like when you first meet Delilah, she's kind of obnoxious.
Yeah.
And you later find out that she was drunk when she first starts talking to you, but like, she's very strong.
Like, she comes on so like strong
like immediately just going into like, you
acting
know,
like you've known each other for a very long time.
I think another part of it that is a lot less mentioned, because I've done a fair share of research on this game. Alcohol plays a pretty decent part in this game's story. So, like, when you first figure out that that Julia, who is your wife, has dementia, there's two options. You can either go see a doctor or drink wine and forget about it.
I actually picked the drink wine, forget about it.
Wait, how'd that go?
I saw a doctor.
How'd that go?
It worked. It said it worked, but then it just kept getting worse.
Yeah.
And then we had to eventually have the option of try to care for her or put her in a facility, and I ended up putting her in a facility.
Yeah. When you put her in a facility, it really makes you understand where that socially puts you. Like, it says in the game, you can tell that all of your friends' wives are like, never put me in a hospital like Henry did. And I think that that was, like, pretty striking. This game just does a very good job of making you understand where you, Henry, are feeling. Like, what you are feeling as a character. And I think that there's something really special about that. What did you guys think of the voice acting? Like, what did you think of Henry's voice acting? Because
I thought Henry's voice acting was good, but there was a lot of times where it was just silence. You wouldn't... Later in the game, he wouldn't talk unless he was talking to Delilah. For most of the time.
I think that occurred most of the game. That's what that's the one part that really would take me out of it.
Because it got silent for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And it just got a little boring in some parts.
Yeah. I think what I would have liked if there was, like, always just something that you could say to Delilah. I really didn't like the... It took the one... It kind of really took me out of it when I could only call Delilah if something interesting was happening. Which I think makes sense. Because as we'll touch on later, this game is really about the, like, effects of isolation and stuff. But it didn't feel realistic to me that this... You hold a radio, but you can only contact them if something's happening.
Which also couldn't come at a better time because of Corona. It kind of affects... We're all basically in isolation or have been.
Yeah.
So you can really...
You had... How do you think that in this current... And Alex, I'll ask you a kind of similar question in a second. But Vaismirk, you've been in isolation for a while. What do you think playing this game at this specific time had? Like, what effect do you think it had? Do you think it changed the meaning a little bit for you?
Yeah, I kind of felt more into the game. Like, I kind of felt like him. Like, there's nothing to really do. No one, like, it became very boring. So I was relating to it a lot because my days became just repeating and repeating with it. Yeah, so it was very similar.
Yeah. And Alex, where do you think your mental state... Because with any piece of media, the mental state at which you approach it and what you're feeling at the time will change your takeaways. Do you think that that is still applies to Firewatch? And if so, like, how do you think that it might be different? Or what do you think is, like... the main concept of it. Like, if I am upset when I play this game, what's my takeaway? And if I am really happy when I play this game, what do you think? How do you think it'll differ?
I mean, for Firewatch in particular, the whole game deals with isolation, mm-hmm. right? Because you're alone in this forest the whole time.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, right now specifically, isolation is a big part of their lives.
Yeah.
You know, not able to go into work, not able to see friends or family, you know, can't spend a lot of time just doing your normal activities. So I think for me, when I played this game, I did relate to it more than I might have if I hadn't played it during the pandemic.
Yeah. I feel like that's, it's like a really, it's a really strong testament, because even though it is so different, he is in the woods, he is talking to somebody, a mask is not in sight. It feels, and like the time is completely different, it feels so now. And I feel like that's what, it's a part of what makes this game so good. It's really timeless. I mean, if we don't play this during isolation, it's more about feeling alone and that idea. And nowadays, it's just about our normal life. Like, this game was made in 2016. We did not see this coming. 2016 was a really high point in the past 5 years. And yet, even now, a piece of media from 4 years ago can still be as prominent and as meaningful as it might have been back then. And I think that's really, that's a, there's a really strong message behind that. And I think that we kind of touched on the voice acting. But again, Henry's voice actor does a good job, because I think with everybody, there's times where you want to talk to somebody and there's times you don't. And even with Henry, it's the same.
You know what I just realized?
What?
They probably didn't do this intentionally, but it ended up working so well because I was just thinking about this when you were talking. The fact that you can't always be talking to that person mm-hmm. is kind of makes it more, it kind of makes it more human, more real. Yeah. Because you're not always going to have that lifeline to keep you above the water.
That was a really good metaphor, man. I like that a lot. So what does any, like, before we really touch on the story aspect, because I feel like there's a lot to talk about story-wise, we've really only been focusing on the design of the game. Does anybody else have anything they want to say about the game design before we move on?
I mean, it's just like, there are some parts in the game where the style that they made the game in, the art style, it really blends well with the theme.
Yeah. Like, how so?
So, obviously the game's called Firewatch. At one point there's a fire in the game. Mm-hmm. And because of the way that they decided to make the game, when the fire starts, because it's a really big forest fire, you can really feel like you're in this inferno. Yeah. You know, things are burning around you.
Yeah. And especially when the fire is starting, the game yeah. wants you to look at it. Like, the game, Delilah asks you to look at the fire with her. And that's like, I feel like that's the most vulnerable moment that takes place in the story. Delilah and Henry share a moment. And by the way, a little confusion. This is like a really, like, intricate part, but like, it cuts away right after Delilah says, like, she's like, I wish I was there, we could do so much. And then Henry's like, well, what could we do? And then he was like, I could tell you, let me tell you. Is that a sexual thing? I like, I looked on the clipboard, it had no reference of that. What was that?
I feel like it's best left to the imagination.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Was there, though?
Yeah, I mean, there's that.
There was a lot of flirtatious action between the two.
Like, there was.
And it was left unsaid.
There was a lot left unsaid. For a long
time. Wait, when was this? When was this flirtatious action? Like, other than the
example... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think you should cut this part, but Well, at what point was there flirtatious action?
Other than
there was
the
a lot left unsaid, and a lot that you have to fill in yourself.
Well, I mean, when they were doing the accents, like, every time they wake up, she
I
called
mean,
him
look,
at night for
you may
no
consider it flirtation,
oh, wait,
but
no,
some
no,
other
wait,
people
wait,
may
wait,
just
wait,
say
wait.
They're
are you talking about? Are you talking about that Julia call? We should talk about that, probably.
Or yeah, that Julia call was talk, weird. I also want to talk about the part at the end where she,
This all falls into story. By the way, I'm probably not cutting this because we just had a pretty decent actual talk. But I think that, by the way, when she calls him at night, that is not. I'm almost 100% sure that's not real. Like that
yeah,
is his imagination.
No, it's not real.
Imagining
not real.
That because that,
she says it later.
Then Delilah
says,
comments
yeah, yeah.
on it the next day.
Yeah.
But if it was a call with Julia, how would Delilah know?
Exactly.
Also, how would he be calling Julia on his radio?
Yeah, there's no logical way.
She's all the way in Melbourne. You know, he's in the middle of Colorado.
Yeah.
Or Utah or something.
Yeah, no, I think that what you said, Alex and Vaismerk, kind of is probably the better phrase. There is a lot left unsaid. Like, their relationship is pretty clear to you, but I think it's left to be perceived by the player because it is so vague at times. Like, it is quite literally, like, that entire discussion, that entire interaction I just mentioned can be perceived as either a flirtatious action or just she's going to tell him, like, oh, we could go and have fun and stuff because we're friends. But about that, we were talking about the art fire. When you first look at it with Delilah, it is so beautiful because I don't know what it is. Does anybody here know how art works and might have an explanation for why it
well,
looks so
I mean,
appealing.
Delilah even commented on it. She said, in the morning, it's just, in the daytime, it's just smoke, but at night, she said it, like, becomes beautiful or something like that.
Yeah, it's the flames.
And the artist really portrayed that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at night, you can see the contrast, because in the day, you know, it's all bright, like, the fire's bright, the sun is bright, the smoke is bright. At night, you can really see the contrast between, you know, the dark forest and this enormous fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that is really...
I feel like, to be honest, it was, like, obviously it was a pretty big fire, but, like...
In comparison...
It could have been contained, I feel like.
It could have been contained, but then...
It spread very far.
But then the second fire is what pushed it over.
Another part about the uncertainty... It is still really not clear how that fire started. I think there's a lot of belief that it was first one?
Well, the first one seems like it could be a natural.
The second one...
Wait, when was the
second
one presented?
It was probably Ned that did...
The second one was probably Ned because it was that Ned's thing that he
made
up.
Ned was the one who conspired all of this.
Ned, for context, we'll
touch about
actually, more of this
in
the
my
story,
opinion,
but Ned is a pivotal character.
I feel like, in my opinion, the fact that this was just one person that, yeah, was, like, pivotal to the story, but, like, I feel like it would have been so much cooler if it was, like, a whole design team, like, a whole, like, science team trying to figure out, like, what happens when you put two people in, like, a very hard situation.
I think that's the beauty of it. You know, in life and in being, we always try to derive some huge meaning out of this. Like, oh, this is scientists watching us, or, oh, that person must have a different meaning with that. It might just boil down to a simple act of, like, something tragic happened to Ned, and he went insane. And I think that is the beauty of the game.
I mean, it said that Ned was, you know...
Not a great father.
He wasn't a great father, and he was also a veteran...
Mm-hmm.
He was in the military and fought in some war.
Yeah.
That doesn't do great things to your head.
Yeah. I think now is the best time to add a little context. Ned Goodwin, along with his son Brian Goodwin, went into the forest, the Shoshone Forest, a little bit, I think it was like a few years before Henry got there or something.
And I'm pretty
like
sure Brian
years.
Wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah, kids were not supposed to be, because Brian is Ned's son.
Yeah, so Ned
was
took,
in around sixth grade, I think.
Yeah, Ned took Henry's job, and
well,
he had a
Henry took the job that Ned had.
Ned did the
Ned
job
was
that
there
Henry
about 3 years before. Yeah.
Anyways, so Delilah met Ned, I think, like in person. I don't know how that worked, but she also met Brian Goodwin, and being in like sixth grade is not supposed to be out there, but they had a special connection, Delilah and Ned, or Brian, so she let it slide. And then the major climax of the game is that it is revealed that Brian Goodwin, the son,
spoiler, by the way.
So yeah, this is all a spoiler. You have not played the game. I think I issued a spoiler warning at the beginning, but anyways. It is revealed that Ned Goodwin, or was it Brian or Ned? Which one's the kid?
Brian is the kid. Died. Ned is
the... Yeah, Brian dies in a
climbing
accident.
And it may have been Ned's fault. They don't ever say explicitly that it's Ned. Well, Delilah does.
I mean,
when you tell Delilah, like, she's clearly distraught. Like, she was.
Blames Ned, but and when you also don't ever look know at what, if it's specifically his fault.
But when you look at what they're doing, like, do you really bring, like, a kid on that huge. Like,
no, I don't agree with
pretty
that.
Pretty steep, hiking held down to, like, God
we,
knows
we
where.
All agree that it was not. A good father would not have done that.
But I think, I mean, having
but
a
at
father...
at the same time, a good father might have done that because they want their child to, like,
a good father would have done it
have fun.
Well.
Yeah, exactly. But, the rope snapping part, which is what is... It made it look to happen. Like, that is
pretty,
what it looks like
sure
it happened. I think that probably could have happened. Like, it happens to Henry earlier on in the story. He's rappelling and then his rope snaps.
I feel like they did that on purpose.
I feel, yeah, so, it's clearly to show that it can happen, yeah. But I really do think that is a very good sign. So then after Brian dies and Ned goes insane.
A couple of years ago, so you see the rotted body. It's not like
so,
fresh.
So Ned goes pretty much psycho. And he does not want to deal with the implications of having to report the body, then answer the questions that the cops would probably have, then bury the body. So he just left it. And he
is now living in the wilderness.
He hunkered down in a little cavern in the mountain, and then
why was he trying to do this to them? Was he trying to make them also go insane?
I think the context was that he ran out of stuff to do. Like when you list, so towards the end of the game, there's this tracker that you get, and then it leads you to a tape that was left from Ned to Henry, and in it Ned basically said, "Yeah, winters are harsh, and I ran out of books." So I'm pretty sure that he probably just did it because he had nothing better to do. And an insane man, a bored insane man, that sounds like something that he would do. Although, a little question I have is, like, he had the site where he was tracking them with the fence, right? But then he also had his hideout.
And no, that was Brian's hideout.
No, that was... Ned's. Brian had a hideout, but then Ned also had a hideout. That
Brian's hideout was like a joke. Brian's hideout was like a little thing.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But I wonder, part of me is left to wonder if, was it the same person?
No, that was, he probably had that hideout earlier when he was with Brian. Brian probably died. There's no point, the hideouts were pretty close to each other, right? Or no?
Maybe. I don't think they were that.
Brian's hideout was close to the tower.
Yeah, so Brian's hideout
when they were
was there.
When he was still staying there. Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that he probably was living with Brian, not in this hideout, but like somewhere other than
in the tower.
That place.
They lived in the tower.
In the tower. But after Brian died, he probably stepped down from his job or got fired or whatever.
Yeah, Delilah said he just kind of disappeared, and she had assumed that they had just left and gone home.
So he probably moved there after that Brian died, so Brian probably never went
but
anywhere
there's,
there.
No, there's
and
two
then he
stations.
Left after,
there's two things that you visit. You visit Wapiti Station, which is
you're right.
And then you also have his hideout.
Yeah,
I think.
Well,
what
the
probably...
hideout's probably where he lived. Wapiti Station is probably where he would get.
Yeah,
I mean, the hideout he could see this tower from, so he could probably see
the hideout was probably like when you
and
work.
It was also easier to get there because it was closer. Wapiti Station was pretty far.
So no, Wapiti Station was pretty close to his hideout. Yeah, it was. It's a little further down.
Very far up there.
It kind of cut out of there. What were you saying?
I was saying Wapiti Station is very far up left. It's like very... I know in the game, you like the map makes it look farther, and then you take like 5 minutes to get to the spot, and you realize it wasn't that far, but it was still definitely farther than the second
one. I think the best explanation is he probably lived at that hideout that you see at the end of the game, and he just worked at Wapiti Station. But you explored both. Anyways,
he did have a lot of equipment in his hideout, too.
Yeah. I mean, he was probably working from home some days. I don't know. But I think that from there, I think now but we should...
There was a bed at Wapiti Station. There was coffee.
He probably could sleep many there. I don't know. That's the... And this is why this game is so good. We are sitting here trying to see if there was a conspiracy within the conspiracy, and...
I mean, look, as far as we know, there may have been more people at Wapiti Station.
Yeah, it seems like too big of a thing. Also disappeared. Yeah. And to be honest, the beauty of it is that we'll never know. And I think from there, we should start talking about what this game is really about under the blanket. The effects of isolation and the effects of trauma. We've already touched on this a little bit, but let's start
talking. Trauma is definitely the bigger out of the two.
So let's talk about this a little bit now. We haven't touched a lot on Delilah's backstory. So would one of you guys want to describe, because Delilah has a whole speech.
Yeah, okay. So her backstory basically is, it goes like this. She says she's been working here for on and off for 13 years about, right?
Something like that, yeah.
So she had a boyfriend of 5 years, and they talked about their whole life. She was in love. She was ready to get married and spend the rest of her life with him. But then, tragically, his brother was shot and killed. Or I don't know if he was shot, but he was killed.
Yeah, the boyfriend's brother was
killed. She was, at the same time, up for a position at the camping place.
I think it was, something. NFS.
Something. Yeah, which she desperately wanted. Mm-hmm. Like, this was her goal. And so she didn't go back to the funeral, and he said it was okay, because he could handle it alone, he could solo team it. He would help with his mom, he would help everything. But when she eventually did come back, he broke things off between the two of them. Which seems like the right thing to do, because with such a serious situation and not coming back.
Yeah, that's warranted.
I feel that, yeah. So then she, as well as Henry, both wanted to get... Well, someone else can talk about Henry's backstory, but
yeah.
She wanted to get away from all of the... she wanted to get away from that, so she came out here, which proves to be a good distraction from...
But I think with Henry's backstory, I don't know if... It's never insinuated that he took the job to get away from something. I think
I'm pretty sure he took the job because... He wanted to give, he was starting to realize that she's not really recognizing him. And he said in the beginning that she stops recognizing me now because I'm going less and less. And then I feel like at a certain time, I would as well. I feel like he just gave up because it became probably too heavy for him to keep. I mean, how would you feel if you kept going back to the love of your life and then... They keep forgetting you, and you have to keep reminding them. It would get a little tough. So he was probably trying to get away from that as well.
I think that the direct the direct line from the prologue is like, you see an ad for the paper. You see an ad in the paper. You take it. But I feel like we should talk a little bit about Henry's backstory and how it affects his decisions. So, Alex, you played the prologue twice. You've played it now...
I've played it twice.
So, oh, you haven't played it twice. You've played it once.
No, I have.
Have played it twice because you played it. Okay. What do you think about Henry's backstory and probably how it affects some of his decisions?
So, Henry's backstory is that one night during college, he's at a bar with some of his friends, and he meets a girl that he thinks is another student, and she's actually a professor. Fast forward, they get engaged, you know, she gets a job, and then, so they're engaged.
They end up getting married before.
And they end up getting married. And then she gets a job, because they live in Colorado, And she gets a job in New York.
And then one of the questions is either you willing to move with her?
Or you...
No, it's either you talk her out of it or you agree for her to commute. So both times I picked the commute one.
Yeah. I actually picked... On my second playthrough, I pretty much just aimed to pick opposite because I wanted to see how it would affect the story. So if you choose... wait, Alex, just talk a little bit more about what happens at the university and then I'll tell what I was about to say.
So... Your wife in the game starts having these episodes where she'll forget things that happen. You know, she'll forget that she loaned someone books or why she drove to this random town, and she's eventually sent home on medical leave. Mm-hmm. And then you're faced with another choice to either get a doctor involved or just, you know, drink wine and forget about it.
That is where
I chose drink wine and forget about it. Did you guys choose the doctor one?
I chose doctor.
I'll explain what
happened. By the way, if you pick to convince her to stay home, pretty much an identical thing happens, except instead of it being so she would move to Colorado. Instead of it being like a Colorado university, it's just a Boulder university, which is where you're living at the time.
So basically, it's the same outcome. She still has dementia.
Well, because if it wasn't the same outcome, it would probably really affect the story. Like, a lot of it is about how Julia has dementia.
Why don't you guys talk about the option?
Wait, It's not done.
He's not done.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, why don't you guys talk about the option where you get a doctor. I'll talk about the option where you just drink wine.
If you get a doctor, they diagnose her dementia, she gets really scared. And then
you both get really, you know, it's scary. You both, and then you can either put her in, like, you know, put her in a hospital to care for people with dementia, or you can try and take care of her from home. And I've done both. Yeah. So
if what happens with the wine option is it's just a dragged out version of that.
Yeah.
Basically, it solves that night where she's feeling sad. It solves that. But then, later on down the line, it just keeps happening and happening.
And then
eventually, she can't remember anymore. They take her to a doctor, she has dementia, put her in a home, and that's basically... It ends up the same way, but picking the wine option just drags it out.
Yeah, I feel like if you pick the option to take care of her yourself, there's no explicit thing that says you are more stressed out.
I think if I haven't chosen that option, maybe you guys have, but probably what's going to happen is it's going to become too stressful for him, and you have to turn her over to a doctor.
I've picked both options, so I can tell you.
Yeah, what happens?
So when you care for her from home, it starts becoming more and more difficult.
Yeah.
Right, and you start taking in the story they call it off nights where you leave her at home by herself after she goes to bed and you go to, like, a bar.
Yeah, that's another example of how alcohol plays a role in the story. You literally lock her in her room so she cannot leave. You don't care what she will do in that room. And you go and drink your...
Well, you lock her to make sure she's safe.
Yeah.
Right, because otherwise she could get out and then, you know...
But within that room, you don't care. Your blatant mind is that, all right, she won't leave this room, she won't get hurt. And that the mindset behind that is not wrong, but it just shows how he becomes, like... I don't even think he does that out of not care. He just does that because he's fed up. Caring for somebody who forgets everything is a very hard task. It's never explicitly said, but I feel like he becomes more stressed, and that might affect his decisions.
It's especially difficult to care for someone with dementia because they can't care for you back in the same way.
Yeah.
Because at a certain point, they forget who you are.
Yeah, so it just feels like
This person that you knew, that you had a strong connection with...
And still do.
For them, it never existed. It's gone.
And then it just feels like a waste of time, a waste of your time.
Like all of those memories that you shared, are gone. You don't get to have those anymore.
Yeah, it's really impactful. Because I've seen and heard terrible stories, but what really puts it in perspective is that these are both young characters.
She's 45 and gets dementia. That's young. That is.
Called early onset dementia. It's very young. Most people get dementia when they're like, but yeah, you know, still, 70 plus.
And at least when you're older, you might pass away before it gets too bad. But with early onset, you will experience everything unless some freak accident happens. It's really sad. And I don't. We kind of left the game a little bit here, but I just think it's really a strong message. And I don't know what warranted this, because I don't know what the explanation for why this is the path they chose. Like, have you guys heard of
that? I feel like it's because that you can't, like, think, how would you get them to be two people, like, as fire watchers without, you have to have, because that's not, if you take that aspect of the game away, and it's just two people as fire watchers that have this and then happen to them, and then it's not as intriguing as a game. Yeah. They need that backstory, and there's not. That backstory.
It makes you care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys heard of the game That Dragon Cancer? Have you at least heard about it?
The what?
That Dragon Cancer.
I think I've heard of it before.
It's a game. A really artistic game about the journey of a really young child who has cancer, but it's told from the perspective of the parents. When that game was made, the creator and main technician and thing, that is his experience. That is a true story.
Yeah.
I don't think that this happened to anybody at Campo Santo, which is just why it showed, like, for this to be coming off of just a notion and just really good writing, really shows
probably the brilliance that a writer had, because if not, then that's just like,
genius. It has so much depth.
It's very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it would be very impressive if nothing like this happened to the writer in their own life. Loosely off of something. Very loosely,
I mean, it might not have happened to them specifically, but they probably know
people. It would be very impressive.
And even if it did happen to somebody, to put it into words and into feelings that
The firewatching part is 100% made up. I feel like
it's a really good
random.
It's a really good concept. It's the perfect idea of isolation. That is quite literally, you're in the woods by yourself. Your only landline is this person on the radio, which is why I think that they blow that conspiracy of who's watching us out of proportion.
Yeah, they blew that way out of proportion, because at the end, it's kind of like,
it's an intentional anticlimax.
I feel like it could have been more than it was.
Like, it was somewhat anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that it's just,
it feels like it should have been something more significant.
It feels like you've put time into this game.
Another piece of trauma, after you finish talking, I want to bring up the trauma one more time.
Yeah. I feel like it's like you put so much time into this game, you deserve a better explanation. You as the player, you as Henry, who have put hours, days into like this, who's out there watching us? It's like you feel like you deserve something
better.
But
then again, that makes it so much more realistic, because it would it really be that realistic in 1988 that scientists are coming out here out of nowhere to look at two people? Or is it more realistic that it was just some deranged psychopath in the woods that is just looking at you, and then his son, that like a freak accident happened? I feel like that's the more plausible option.
Yeah.
So when I was talking about trauma earlier, at the end of the game, I feel like after all that these two people went through, they would want to meet, or at least start a relationship.
Yeah.
But I feel like her past trauma of those 5 years down the drain is what stops her from going with you.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the game, she's not never get to meet Delilah.
So do we want to sum up?
She's not going to come down. She says, yeah, maybe I'll come down. She's not going to come down. That's probably the last time you'll ever talk to her.
Do we want to sum up what happens at the end before we talk about it? Because I feel like there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah,
in the
there's
ending.
Just something.
Actually, one thing I want to say before we talk about the ending is that I feel like it's an idea of how when you make a Henry as a character is a blank slate. I don't think that Henry, you can relate to Henry because of the experiences you've been to, but him as a person is not a very thoughtful, interesting person. And I feel like the beauty of that is because any player can project yourself onto him. I see myself in Henry. I see a little bit of something. I see a little bit of something in him that I also see in myself. I care more about his story. So, what did you guys think? Like, for me, I really related with Henry's, like, cautionary inquisitiveness. He wants answers, but he also doesn't want to do something unless, like, if he doesn't deem it safe.
Well, it's also up to you, because, well, actually, it's up, you can say that you don't want to do this, but in the end, you don't really have a choice, because you're on the line with your boss.
Yeah, but most people will.
It's your job, you're going to pay for this. You have, it's not like, it doesn't matter if he doesn't want to or not. You can choose whether he wants to or not, mm-hmm. but at the end is up to the boss.
I feel like the major question is, what did you guys see in Henry that you also see in yourselves?
Wait, repeat that. You cut out.
What do you see in Henry as a character that you also see in yourselves? What aspect of him allowed you to project yourself onto him?
Well, I feel like a lot of this I wouldn't do in real life, like exploring that cave.
Mm-hmm. I would never go on that cave.
No, that's I feel scary. Like since I knew that I was safe, and since I knew nothing would happen to me personally, mm-hmm. and that I could always start over in the game, it's not the same. None of my qualities would really show, in it, especially a game like this where you choose everything that's happening.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's more like that wouldn't really be...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I wanted to say, because this was kind of filler, because I was trying to get it back, but... horror in video games plays a major role. Of course, you have horror games, but this game is a little bit scary at times. Like, there is a day where Delilah calls you and is being completely cryptid, and I remember the first time I was playing that, I was like...
When on the tree part, right? Where she's like...
She's like, go look at this tree.
I wouldn't say it's necessarily horror.
No, but it has scary.
It's very unnerving.
It's like more realistic horror than video game horror.
Yeah.
Like, it makes you tense.
I feel like video game horror would never really happen in real life, and you call it horror because
Alex,
it's so
unrealistic. You cut out there a little bit. What were you saying?
It makes you very tense. Like, it's very unnerving. Yeah.
Which is what a lot of real life horror is like.
Yeah.
It's most real life horror is not you.
Like, it's scary because you don't know what's going on.
No, but I think that...
Not because you know that there's some monster coming to get you.
When Delilah was doing that tree thing, I didn't... Because I played that...
I understood immediately. But I thought she would probably be there.
I knew...
My intuition was saying, she wants us to meet at the tree, and then from this point on, we will be together, and it will make our efforts like 10 times easier.
I knew...
Which is not what ended up happening.
Yeah, I played that day, like, a couple real-life days after I played the day before it. And I feel like when I first got on and she was like, I'm like, wait, is she being held hostage or something? Like, why is she speaking so figuratively? And I understood
she was trying to tell him something. I thought she would be there. I didn't really think that what happened, what ended up happening was she put a box there. She gave another radio. So the person tapping untapped.
So it's untapped. It's another
so it's untapped and they can speak. I thought they would have met up, but I guess... In the end, I think it was better that you didn't see Zoe, thingy, what's her name?
Delilah?
Delilah.
Stupid.
Yeah, I was looking at a Discord thing and it said Zoe. But, yeah.
Anyways. Now, I think we've all, tangents aside, we gotta talk about that ending. Alex, do you wanna cover what actually happens in the ending before we talk about it?
Sure.
Yeah.
So... The fire gets out of control to the point where you have to leave. And on the last day, while you're leaving, you have this... I guess it's like a radar scanner that you've had for most of the game at this point.
It's used to
and all of a sudden, it starts beeping again. Mm-hmm. So... You go out to find what's making it beep, and you find this tape from Ned that is him trying to explain what happened. Mm-hmm. And it's events from his perspective.
Yeah.
And then after that, you find Ned's hideout. Mm-hmm. Where he's been this whole time.
And it's pretty shocking because it was right under your nose.
It's very close. Like, I'm surprised that I never saw it.
I wonder if it's like, I might actually take a look. I wonder if you go to that spot before the thing, like before you are supposed to go there, what would you see? Maybe. I don't know. There's probably something there. You probably just can't go in.
I mean, you might be able to see the cave entrance, but you definitely won't see Ned himself.
Yeah. All right, keep going.
And then at that point, you find the hideout, the mystery is revealed that the people who have been watching you, it's really just been Ned the whole time. The whole grand conspiracy doesn't even exist. Ned has retreated farther into the forest so that he doesn't have to be found, and then you get to leave.
I have a question for you guys. Do you think Ned could survive that fire? Because it was getting pretty bad.
I think it's pretty insinuated.
I think he survived.
It's insinuated that he pretty much just runs away. He goes to a completely new area.
Well, he goes even deeper into the forest.
Yeah. And follow-up question. What do you guys think he is doing?
Probably.
What do you think he'd do for the rest of his life now that he can't go home?
Honestly, I think eventually he'll silently leave as a camper.
Just eventually rejoin society as a totally new person.
Because now he can't do what he just did again. Or maybe he could, but I don't see why he would. But, like, I do think he would probably rejoin society after a while. He probably would change his identity. Like, his main concern has always been, I don't want people to find out what happened to my son. He'd probably rejoin society under, like, a completely new alias or something.
Yeah, because if anyone found out, he would probably go to jail.
I don't know.
No, he would 100% go to jail.
Well, it depends, because, again, we've talked about this. Did he do it? Or was it another...
In my opinion, he didn't do it intentionally, but he still put his son's life in unnecessary danger.
Yeah. I don't know.
But it's the line where he didn't cross it by killing him, but he also didn't... In a way, he did
kill him. Depending on how you look at it,
either... We don't know what happened. His son may have been repelling... He does say that his son was doing it wrong, so he kind of shifts the blame onto his son, which I don't feel.
That's pretty common for somebody who's.
I feel that's a good representation of how he is as a person, because if he was a good person, he would say it's all my fault.
I just put two and two together. When somebody has a lot of mental trauma, they will try to shift the blame of whatever happened to them on somebody else. Delilah does it as well. Delilah told her sister about the breakup or somebody that the person cheated on her. Ned tries to blame the death on Brian by saying, oh, he was doing it wrong. I think that's a common thread. Nobody owns up to their actions. I don't know. That's a nice
sentence. Would you own up to your actions?
No, it's traumatic.
I mean, it's just the hard part is, depending on how you look at it, either Ned killed his son, or Ned's son died in an accident. Yeah.
There's also the fact that it was under his watch. But if he had reported the death, I mean, what real reason is there to not report his body? Because his fault that the
He would have been scrutinized hard. He would have been interrogated. Yeah, he would have been
scrutinized. But I feel that there's definitely something else there that we're missing, because I feel like I would have definitely reported the body. I know that there would be some blame, but it's also not 100% your fault. Yes, you put him in unnecessary danger, but at the same time, I feel like there is something missing there.
It's really all from how you look at it, and that is completely it. They're like, if you say, oh, Ned's a fine person, he was just watching his son and then something wrong happened. Or you can say, oh no, Ned intentionally knew his son was doing something wrong, blah, 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 how dare he. It depends on how you look at it, but I feel like we gotta leave this because we're running a little bit long here and I want to talk about that ending. But I feel like it's really left up to your mind and how things are going to happen and how you see things. But I feel like with Ned, it's probably very likely that he thought in his mind it would be very bad for him to go and tell people. One, because he is pretty mentally deranged. He went to war and stuff. I don't feel like he would be thinking logically in that scenario. And yeah, if you're thinking logically, you'll get questioned, but then people will probably be like, oh no, that was a mistake.
There's also, at the same time, the argument, like, on the other side, that if he had killed him, he would have probably tried to hide the body. The body
was exposed. Though it was
deep in a cave, just lying.
By the way, it is never explained why that cave gate is there. Like, Henry says himself... to
stop people from finding the body, probably.
Well... Henry says,
Delilah says that it's so that people don't go down there and die, which is again foreshadowing Brian's death.
Yeah.
Isn't it? But then apparently the key went missing, so no one was able to get down there.
It would have been such a good story element if they put the key in Ned's thing at the end. You see like a copy or something. Henry finds.
You wouldn't figure out it was Ned.
Does Henry find the key or does he chop down with it?
Henry finds the key very early. Pretty early on.
He finds it at the Wapiti thing, right?
No.
Yeah, he finds it in the Wapiti station.
So it wouldn't have been too.
If he had found it in Ned's stuff, that would have revealed that he.
Revealed it too late. And then.
Because the whole thing is. Like, when you're playing through it, you have no idea that. Ned has anything to do with this.
Yeah.
Like,
you also have no idea Brian. Like, you assume Brian is living his life right now.
Like, I was not expecting that at all.
I wasn't either.
I saw the conspiracy thing, I thought, you know, it was going to be about some conspiracy that's studying people in isolation. And then that was just completely, subverted my expectations.
Yeah. I feel like
either way, if they went with that option about, like, scientists studying people, it would have still been a little bone-chilling to see.
Yeah, it was just... I don't know...
It definitely would have been, but it wouldn't have... It would have been a much more bland story, because there's lots of stories like that, and I don't think it would have had the same effect.
At the end, what would they do? Just release them back into society?
Yeah, exactly. It would be pretty anticlimactic.
It wouldn't have had the same impact that the story in the actual game has. All
right, this was a huge tangent. Let's finish. Let's talk about the ending. Alex, please summarize what happens. So you find Ned's stuff.
You find Ned's hideout. You go to get picked up by the helicopter. You get to talk to Delilah one more time. And then
you also get to see her. You get to see where she's been.
You get to see in Delilah's tower because... The whole game, you never get to see what Delilah looks
so,
like.
So, this piece of dialogue, and I'm going to play a clip from it now.
Hello? Is anybody there?
Hi. Yeah, it's me.
You're not here.
No. Don't be mad.
I'm not.
I just couldn't be out there for another minute.
I get it.
You do?
I think so.
Hey, it shouldn't take long for the helicopter to reach you.
Okay.
There's a debrief in a situation like this. Lots of questions.
So, taking stock, we found out an old lookout killed his only son and decided to become a lonely hermit.
Yes.
And we prevented one fire?
Basically started another.
Okay, so that's a wash.
Oh, I'll have to figure out what I'm doing every summer from now on that isn't this.
You're not coming back?
No. And you'll have to... I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know what's next.
Tell you what, why don't you choose for me, and I'll choose for you.
All right, sure. Maybe... maybe you could come back to Boulder with me and figure it out down there. Just a thought.
You don't want me down there.
Well, I just asked you.
Look, I've got some things to do in Casper, and maybe I'll head south sometime after that. I could come by, sure.
Okay. So, what about me?
I think you should go to Julia, and then you can figure it out. Maybe put that typewriter to good use. Give me a sexy accent or something if you write about this.
I, yeah.
You gotta go see her.
Yeah, sure.
Henry, I... look, you came out to put your memories behind you, and they're still right there in front of you.
You're right. I mean, I think you're right.
Good.
When I get back, maybe I could,
We shouldn't focus on this summer. Next year we'll roll around, and then the year after that, and then it's just a... I don't know. My Aunt Judy called it a pause in the hallway of time.
Did your Aunt Judy smoke a lot of pot?
Yeah.
Well, you should try to take her advice, too.
Yeah, we'll see.
There's the helicopter.
They'll land back where you hiked up. Good luck, Henry.
Thank you, Delilah. I appreciate it.
I mean it. Good luck.
Thanks.
Bye, Hank.
So that's one hell of an ending. I feel like that always kind of hits you a little bit. I'm not tearing up, but I'm also not tearing up. That makes me a little emotional. You can hear the longing in Henry's voice. The voice acting in that specific scene is so good. Oh, boy. Thoughts? Everybody? What do y'all think?
It is... it's more intense than... I would think.
Yeah.
I feel like this also relates back. Now, she's kind of turning into the same thing that Julia was. Now, he has unreciprocated love. Not really. Probably not unreciprocated, but...
it's definitely not
unreciprocated, because he loved Julia, and she... not that she didn't love him back, but that she wasn't able to.
Yeah.
I guess it's the
and
same thing.
And he loves Delilah, and she doesn't love him back.
Yeah. I just think...
I think she did. She just didn't have the same level that he did. Which is... yeah.
Which, again, we don't know how Henry feels about Delilah. We know how we feel about Delilah. But Henry...
We are Henry.
I mean, Henry never actually says...
I love you, Delilah.
Yeah.
I'll love you,
but he wants... like, the fact that there's an option that he's asking her while his wife is still alive...
I don't think, and that's
the fact that they put that option in there, and the fact that I actually chose that option.
Yeah, in the, I don't think
this person chose that option.
I don't think in the clip that
clearly shows that.
Wait, did this person choose that option?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, so
I was waiting for that part.
Yeah, I just think it wraps it up so well, and there's not a lot to say about it. It ends the game on such a perfect note that may feel anticlimactic. But then you, Vase, you finished this, what, now?
20 minutes ago. 20 minutes.
Like, probably about an hour ago?
Yeah.
And you're already, you've probably been listening to this, and you've
probably... it's all fresh in my mind.
It's all fresh in your mind, but it already feels different than it did before.
Yeah, it already feels way different.
Because it feels less anticlimactic because you actually take the time to analyze it.
Yeah, if you take the time to analyze any game, especially this one... you will. But, you gotta take the time. And
I mean, this game is just... it's very deep. Yeah. You really have to think about it.
It affects everyone on a different level. Because some people might just scratch the surface of what this means. Yeah. I know this probably won't affect me as much as someone else. because I not going through maybe a lot you're of the in same isolation. Stuff that
makes sense.
I know, but like it's still not. It's different for someone who. I mean, we're basically all in isolation right now, so that's not really. It's
no,
more,
but even if you're not in isolation, it's like.
It's a very good story. It's very strong.
Especially for now. Even though I know it's not made, I know it was made in 2016, but it feels like it was made for now.
Yeah.
Like, this is a perfect game.
But I could see myself connecting to this game, even if I wasn't
like,
in
very,
isolation.
I feel like it would just be it would be a very different level. Like,
and I feel
very,
like, I feel like,
lower level.
I feel like the point we should end on here is that this game ends and there's so much uncertainty in this game. There's question marks everywhere. And I feel like that reflects the era we're living now. We're living in now. We are recording this on election night. Like, there is so much uncertainty ahead of us. And I feel like this game perfectly captures just the uncertainty of life. And I think there's something really beautiful about that. So, in closing, I feel like a good thing to end on is describe Firewatch in the shortest way possible that you can. Alex, you can go first because you're a guest.
I would probably have to say... Huh.
That is a good question. One,
I mean, it's
not
just...
very easily answered. That might take some thinking because that's not a question you can answer right off the bat.
Just do your best.
I definitely have to
in
think
the shortest
that.
Way possible...
It's
just
so
try to describe it briefly.
Even.
Describe it briefly. Just this is a good ending question. I like this a lot. I like this idea. You want me to go
just,
first?
Yeah, you go first.
I'll go
you
first.
Go first.
I can cycle back to you guys. Okay.
I think I have something, but Dylan, you go.
Alright, so in my opinion, this game is about life. It's about the indecision. It's about the uncertainty, how trauma will affect you, how isolation will affect you, how you value the people around you. And the art is beautiful. I just think it's a really good testament to how games can be made and the effects that games can have on you as a person. And I think that that is really special. And I definitely know I will remember this game for a long time. Because games don't really take me on an emotional journey like this one did. And I feel like there's something very special about that. So,
all right,
that's how
I'm not going to summarize it. I'm going to give you some themes.
But hey, no. Alex gets to go.
Okay.
We said that he would go next. You're getting cut off. You don't get
okay.
paid.
So, all this... What I think about when I play this game is just... Take it slow and think about it deeply. You know, like, rushing through it, like, just like in, you know, day-to-day life, rushing through it and not paying attention is not a very good strategy and won't get you very far.
Yeah.
So just...
Stay tethered to reality.
Yeah.
All right, Vismirk, you want to round us out here?
Yeah, so I'm going to name some themes instead of summarizing, because I don't really have anything to summarize. I'm just going to name some themes. So we have unreciprocated love and love, because I feel... Well, not love. I'm going to say relationships. Unreciprocated love and relationship. Because I feel their relationship was very strong and definitely could have been made into something.
Mm-hmm.
She just... For whatever reason, personal reasons, didn't want to bring it there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. What Alex is saying, not necessarily part of the game. I mean, it is patience. Playing this game, you can't. You have to have patience. And that's about it.
So, I think that in closing,
two major themes.
We recommend this. I don't think there's anybody in this call who wouldn't recommend this game highly. As for us...
And we all recommend actually playing it more than once.
Yeah, play it again. Because when you play it again, you can actually play in for more for the story, because you'll have a... I got a little map of how things work, place-wise in my head now. Okay, so as for us, As for the Gamecast, please be sure to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/Gamecast1. Please search up Gamecast Podcast on YouTube. Listen to Season 1 and all of our past episodes. Wherever you get your podcast, search up Gamecast. Please be sure to follow Vaysmirk on Twitch and YouTube. His alias is just Vaysmirk. Alex, thank you so much for joining us in definitely one of our longest episodes.
It was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. This has been the Gamecast.